Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbacast, the only baseball podcast in the world breaking Trey rumors. MLB Trey rumors.
They should have rebranded. Jake, it is so good to be joined by you once again as we sit here at the winter meetings in San Diego. And we have a special guest, not just a special guest, because we like this person so much, we're going to let them host with us for this whole show. It's Chelsea Janes of the Washington Post. Chelsea, hello.
Hi, thanks for having me. I know I was your first choice, and I'm happy to be here.
Exactly. Chelsea, what is the Washington Post exactly?
It's like a lifestyle, really. You know,
okay.
It's about putting truth into light.
Wow.
Keeping from democracy from dying in darkness.
That's you.
We have a motto. Say. Yeah.
I love when I see that motto or when I read that motto, I'm just like it hits.
It's the first time I saw it, I was like, whoa.
And the best part is when you see it, like. It says, like, Washington Post, democracy dies in darkness, and then it's, like, Josh Palacios optioned. You know what I mean?
It's
a disconnect there.
For those of you not familiar with Chelsea's work, Chelsea, that's maybe a good place to start, because you cover the Nationals for the Washington Post, then you left to cover, election or whatever is going on there. It's democracy. Okay, great. And then you're like, let's get back to baseball. Yep. Let's get back to baseball.
Yep.
We love that. We are glad that you're back here, because when you were off covering elections, we were like, I miss Chelsea writing and talking about baseball. And it seems like you did, too.
I did. It's so nice to hear. Yeah. No, I'm back. I'm here to wait out the apocalypse
and
baseball land.
There was no news today about Pete Buttigieg signing an extension or a contract with anyone. But there was news about Trey Turner.
Nice segue.
Thank you very much. Like I said, MLB Trey rumor, a rumor no more.
Yes.
Trey Turner signing with the Philadelphia Phillies, reportedly, allegedly, for 11 years and $300 million. Chelsea, you spent a lot of time around Trey Turner. Mm-hmm. What do you think the first thing he's going to purchase is with his new enormous cauldron of cash?
That is an incredible question and not where I thought you were going with it.
Mm.
You know, golf something. I don't know. He's a pretty practical dude. He's not super flashy. Right.
Like a golf course?
Yeah, that's why I left it open. I was like, a new driver? Nah, that doesn't seem right.
How big can we go here?
I don't know.
Yeah, right. And I want to get into, you know, everyone's, he's back with Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm also curious about your answer, is what does that really mean? Because it's so easy when and we'll talk a little bit about Verlander and Scherzer, you know, reuniting in some form later. But we always just assume, like, they were teammates, they were best friends. Okay, great. And I understand it's a little bit more believable with Turner and Harper. But for those two guys who came, you know, they were both high picks. But Bryce, of course, coming up at a very slightly different backgrounds in terms of how famous they were as high schoolers. Give us a little insight into their relationship from your observations when you were around the team at the time.
You know, as far as I can tell, they were always totally fine. I think in the years that Trey was there, when Bryce was there, Bryce was sort of on his way out. He was sort of kind of sliding into constant contract talk, which really sort of like isolated him,
That's true.
But Turner is one of those guys who kind of coexists really easily, I think, with everyone. People really like him. I mean, you saw him and Soto go to the, or sorry, you saw Soto come to the wild card game, see him and Max the other, they're all buds. So, you know, I think Trey is going to be good. I think he's friends with Schwarber, and I think Kevin Long was probably a big part of it too, because he was his coach in Washington, and we know Kevin Long loves to get some stars around.
You mentioned Soto. Let's actually touch on that quickly, because we also got some reports that the Padres were like really going for it and were like pretty bummed that Trey Turner decided, actually, I'm going to chill on the East Coast and be in, you know, Florida spring training, and that didn't super shock me. But the Padres being super in on it, at first I was like, what? How many shortstops do they need? It did kind of make some sense, and maybe he, you know, I'm sure Juan Soto would have loved to have a Trey Turner around. Did that surprise you that the Padres were in the mix there?
Only because I don't know where they keep finding the money to do these deals. I mean, that's a huge deal.
How can they afford it? I don't care.
But,
go Peter, go. 100%. Go Peter Seidler, go.
100%. But, you know, I guess it makes sense for them to go after somebody with Machado potentially opting out. You don't know if you're going to extend Soto.
Also true.
You know, like, it's no guarantee with Scott Boras that Soto thing's going to get done. And, you know, So I think it makes sense to go after someone. And it makes sense, I guess, because he liked Trey when, you know, Trey was in the draft and, like, you know.
And then immediately traded him.
And then immediately traded him, right? But
didn't like him that much, but yeah,
but
that's true.
Yeah, it's interesting. It doesn't surprise me Trey didn't go there. It, you know, he's like kind of a familiarity guy.
Yeah. So but it seems like the Phillies are a very, very good fit in a lot of ways.
Comfortable, I think, for him. Yeah.
You feel pretty good about that. Like, that's that did not surprise you at the start of the offseason, even before. Because about a week and a half ago, we started just getting the reports that was just Phillies want Trey Turner super duper badly. We were all of Phillies Twitter was just like, this needs to happen. And they got it. They didn't even have to wait that long.
Yeah. I think the East Coast was a big pull. I think he's just kind of like likes to be comfortable. He's kind of a steady dude. I don't think he needed like some AAV or anything. Like 11 years, played till you're 40 as a middle infielder. He's not too dumb, right? Like, he knows he to take a good deal when it's there.
He can buy a house.
Mm-hmm. At least. Maybe a driver.
Or a course.
He can buy a whole resort. I mean, the thing about this deal that really struck me is it highlights what Dave Dombrowski, the general manager of the Phillies, is really good at. And that is whispering in the ear of a absurdly rich person and convincing them to spend their money. And it is the most underrated feature of a general manager, convincing ownership to open up the pocketbook. Yeah. If you can do that, and Dombrowski has done it maybe more than anybody else in the history of the sport, it's actually not that complicated. Hey, can we get, let's like, you know, growing up, like my sister was really good at convincing my mom to get like stuff at the supermarket.
Okay.
It's like, we gotta have that, right? That she was the Dave Dombrowski of our family.
Like candy or like peas? Like, what are we talking?
Peas?
Lower amount of, definitely lower AAV for the supermarket trips.
Time out. What mom is like, no peas?
Well, that's why I'm asking. What was she talking her into?
That's true, yeah. What was Abby really, really gunning for?
She's just a very convincing person. Anyway, my point is...
I would say, Abby, if you're listening, let us know, but she's not listening.
She's not listening. My sister, no way.
Yeah.
Chelsea, my question there is, for Dombrowski to do this over and over and over again, is it a product of his ability to convince owners to do it, or does he only get hired for jobs by owners who are willing to spend? Like, the A's wouldn't hire Dave Dombrowski.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Right. I think that's right. I think he, you know, at some point he had to establish that reputation, right? But clearly at this point it is teams who want to win now who are willing to spend and want someone to do it responsibly, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like he's that guy. You know, I think even a few years ago, even the Nats had talked to him at some point about something. You know, like, teams that want to win and want someone to shepherd them through are going to do it. He's not going to build, you know, long term, but he's going to bring in the right people. And it's crazy how much it works.
He only has to point to all the World Series he keeps going to. And now he's added another one there. It's just reputation-wise, like, yeah, I'll trust you instead of the, you know, much younger GM that is only done. It's only his first team. Like, why would I listen to him? But Dombrowski, it's like, that guy probably knows what he's talking about.
I think the last thing to talk about with Trey Turner before we move on to the other news of the day, Justin Verlander, is the 11 years part of this contract. That is a startling number. 11 years is a long time. That is like 3 World Cup cycles away. That's how I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, 2033.
We don't know where the World Cup will be in 2030 yet, right?
Wow.
We don't.
When you put it that way.
And yet, Trey Turner, we know where he will be on the Phillies.
And Bryce.
And Bryce. When we hear 11 years, like, Jordan, what came to your mind? Because when we were together, it was like 11 years. Oh, my God. 11 years.
Yeah. It's just, it is a wild thing to think about because, on one hand, it's so goofy to think about what we're even talking, think about different the world was 11 years ago, right? All these kind of things. And yet, it is often what gets it done, is adding those extra years way in the future when none of it is anything that we can possibly conceive of. That is what gets these deals done is always so funny to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I was asking someone today, is this a good deal for him? Is it a good deal for the Phillies? And they were like, can it be both? You know? And I was like, well, no, because it's not fun. But I think there's like something to be said for that deal. And I think Trey's also a really easy person to bet on because, he might get a little slower, but slow Trey Turner is still faster than 90% of the people around him. And he can play anywhere, you know?
The one other thing about Turner is just like as a player, like not even necessarily how he's aged. I'm fascinated by his development because he has changed in some ways. Like he has figured out, I actually do have power if I try to launch and I try to pull. How do you see him aging? Because not just that he can't be the fastest player in baseball forever. But offensively, like, do you think he just kind of figures out how to hit 25 homers a year because he's that talented?
And in that park.
And in that park, which presumably will help some of the offensive numbers.
True. Yeah, one of the things, like, watching Trey, he's really smart. I mean, he adjusts, like, really, really quickly. And everyone who's ever sort of managed him or whatever has said the same thing. And he's just, like, he's just a smart guy and he cares. And he's one of those guys. There are players who you saw sign long-term deals. Anthony Rendon comes to mind.
Yeah.
Where you're like, well, I wouldn't have paid him that long. You know, yes. He's going to not be as engaged by the end of this.
Yep.
But by
the beginning of it.
Sure.
Or at any point during it.
But yes. No, I think that's a good way to put it. And I also do think that the fit, it helps too. He's like, oh, I can go make a ton of money. And guess what? Bryce is still the guy. And I'm fine with that. That's
and
cool.
I think for Trey, that's completely fine.
Totally
They've
fine.
Always kind of pushed him to be a bigger superstar type. And he doesn't want it. He's like, I don't care if it's going to get me more money. I just want to be meme, you know?
I just want to be Mike Trout.
On that note, let's just quickly talk about the John Hamm video. What was your take about that? Because again, that was my read. When I first saw it, I was like, what, Trey Turner didn't ask for this.
100% that was my take. And also just like surprised he let it happen, kind of. Because he's not because he like, it wasn't that weird. Like,
no,
sure, do whatever. I'm sure people do that. But like, Trey is just kind of so unassuming that it, like, I bet he had to be talked in. You know?
Yeah.
Well, it's also interesting because it, like, CAA, who is his agency, is clearly who set it up. And it's not as if CAA was like, Trey's going to love this.
right.
Like, they know him well enough.
100%.
Like, who is this for? I really was curious.
That was the part that was weird. But anyway.
One last thing about his fit with the Phillies. I think when you're going to ask someone to move positions for someone else, this is about as easy of an ask to Bryson Stott as there is. He's a rookie, first of all. Now, he's one who has he's got a little bit of juice in that clubhouse after the year they just had. But when you're bringing in Trey Turner, who is a no-doubt guy, who is liked and appreciated within the world of baseball, who is a no-doubt shortstop, and you're like, hey, Bryson, can you move to second? He's already in. I don't know if you saw. Already today, before the Phillies even announced the trade, Bryson Stott tweeted like a Photoshop of Turner in a Phillies outfit.
I did not see that.
And
that tracks.
Right. And it's like, that's great. And I'm sure that there are certain players and situations where it wouldn't have gone so smoothly. And I think it's interesting that, like, we already have this, right? You know, in my mind, like, if the Giants sign Correa, Brandon Crawford
that's wild.
Is not going to do that.
Wild.
Right? And we have a very different situation here. Let's take a quick break, and we will be back after it talking to Chelsea Janes of the Washington Post. We're going to talk Verlander, Scherzer, BFFs. We're going to talk about the 2019 Washington Nationals to see what happened there. And we are going to welcome the one and only Aaron Judge to San Diego, California.
Negro Leagues Baseball Museum President Bob Kendrick hosts the SiriusXM original podcast, Black Diamonds.
The Negro Leagues didn't care what color you were, and they didn't care what gender you were. Can you play?
Hear stories of the leagues and legends that shaped sport, culture, and society.
That's why the museum is so important. It's like, we are never going to forget you.
Episodes of the award-winning Black Diamonds are now available wherever you get your podcasts.
We're not talking about balls and strikes. We're talking about your life.
And we're back here on Baseball Barbacast. Jake Mintz, Jordan Schusterman, Chelsea Janes of the Washington Post. Democracy dies in?
Darkness.
Hell yeah. Speaking of darkness, the New York Mets every Friday night wear black jerseys.
Oh.
And this year,
you landed it.
I cannot believe I landed it. And this year, someone wearing that jersey will be the one and only Justin Verlander, formerly of the Old Dominion Monarchs.
As
people say.
Old Dominion Zone.
Old Dominion Zone. He will be joining Max Scherzer atop this rotation. Chelsea, you've spent quite a bit of time around Scherzer. Let me ask you the question this way. How do you think the relationship between Verlander and Scherzer will compare to the relationship that we just saw between Scherzer and DeGrom, or the relationship we had in D.C. between Scherzer and Strasburg? When you have these two aces, right, who are next to each other coexisting.
That's a great way to ask the question. I think my simple answer is that the relationship will be different. You know, I think they've played together in Detroit, as we kind of all know. And in those days, like, Max wasn't Max. He, you know, I remember in 2011, I think Verlander won the Cy Young and MVP, and Max got sent down for 2 weeks. You know, they were in different yeah. places in their careers. And since, obviously, Max has kind of become a guy, and they're sort of different, too. They're just different, both very determined human beings, obviously. But it sort of plays out differently. So I think it'll be interesting just because I think both of them are used to being the guy. DeGrom and Strasburg didn't seem to care very much if they weren't the center of attention.
Right.
I don't think it's all going to be like, you know, wanting media attention, but there's going to be like some right. some elbowing. Like, opening day starter matters now, I think.
Right.
You know?
I think it's like Kobe Shaq.
Yeah.
Right. Where these are people who are so used to being the number one.
Yes.
And both won't admit that they care. But clearly do. And the moment that, you know, really put that in my mind is when Verlander got his first World Series win. And he had spent the last, like, 5 years being like, actually, I don't care.
100%.
And then he got his first win, and he looked like...
It was the happiest we've ever seen
Justin Verlander. And so it's obvious. If he says, I don't care about starting the second game of a series,
right,
he definitely cares.
Yeah. And I know Max cares. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just going to be wild.
Also, remember, the last time they were teammates, that was the only time Justin Verlander's ever been bad. 2014. Scherzer's thinking... This guy sucked.
Like, last night I saw him.
This guy making more. Yeah. I know a lot's changed since
then. That's true.
He's throwing 93.
Well, and they're also five career strikeouts apart or whatever it is.
Oh. Yeah. I just want to say, you mentioned in your bizarre intro, mentioning in the black jerseys. The fact that we already saw, like, it took me a while to see Scherzer in a Mets jersey, but, like, now I'm just prepared for Verlander. Like, it's, like, not as weird because I've already, the Scherzer one was freaky enough that now I'm like, oh, okay, sure, anyone could just be in a Mets jersey.
You talked about the difference in the similarity between them, and that's what's striking is, like, they're very similar in some ways and very different in other ways.
Yes.
Like, they are both intense people who care a lot and care about being great. But they also go about it in a different way, and I think they interact with their teammates in a different way. I do think that Buck Showalter is a good person to keep this from turning into, like, Real Housewives of sure. the Queen's locker room.
Sure. It's hard to picture it getting that far.
But it is the Mets.
But it's the Mets. And, you know, there's been some barking between Scherzer and Strasburg back in, because they're competitive. But,
yeah.
you know, I think the thing with Max is, like, I can sort of, I don't know if they asked him what he thought, but it's just impossible for me to picture him being, like, putting anything, any, like, little rivalry there ahead of how much better Justin Verlander makes them, right? Like,
right. Yeah.
Max just wants rings.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like, he really does. Some people say that, but that's like, I feel like that's all he cares about. So,
right.
Yeah, and I would too if I had that kind of money.
That's true. That's all I would care about. Yeah. With all due respect to Eliezer Hernandez, the Mets are sure. better today
yes.
than they were yesterday. Anything yeah. else on Verlander, Scherzer, Jordan?
No, I mean, I'm just excited to see if they're still going, if it's yep. another more mid-tier, or if they're still going after Rodon. Because, again, like, we knew they were going to pivot. We knew they were going to respond. And I appreciate that they did not wait very long because we didn't have to speculate. Yeah. It was just like, oh, okay, now it's Verlander. Great. We just throw in another Cy Young. So, yeah, no, I'm sure they will give us more to talk about this week.
2019 Nationals. Mm-hmm. They won the World Series. Now what? Things have fallen apart. What?
Well, yeah, I was thinking, again, we keep reflecting on 3 years ago here. You know, 3 years ago here, not only did they, you know, sign Steven Strasburg, and we know how that turned out, but they were basking in it, right? I mean, what a run. And now they are as far from that as possible. They will be hoping for the draft lottery to go well. They will be trying to nail their Rule 5 picks.
Wow. Sound like the Orioles.
I guess my question about the Nationals. I guess my question about the Nationals for you is, and I know you're not necessarily on the beat anymore, but did this happen faster than you thought? Or you could sort of see it coming in some senses, but is it even staggering to you, who's been around the team and knows it as well as anyone, how quickly this all happened?
I think what happened faster than I thought was how quickly it became clear they weren't going to pay any of the big position players, right? Like, because, like, this time in 2018, Bryce could have still signed there. You know, Turner's a couple years away. Soto is, you know, years away.
Right.
It's like, they're going to be fine for a long time, you know? The end, they might get worse. They might have to kind of settle for a few years, but right. they'll be okay. and then to not sign any of them. You know, it, I think it really, that happened fast. But in terms of the rest of it, sort of them really getting into a place with their farm system where they can't turn things around quickly, just kind of the clogging of their roster, all of that felt like it was coming. I mean, I think they knew the second they signed Patrick Corbin, they knew they overpaid for him. They got the World Series out of him. And like Strasburg, now you just reap your like rewards and think like are very happy that Howie Kendrick's ball hit the foul pole.
I have a really sad question for you. Who has more trade value right now, Patrick Corbin or Steven Strasburg?
Patrick Corbin.
It's Corbin, and I'm surprised. Honestly, I mean, no one's told me this, but like, don't you feel like someone could fix him?
I guess. Though, I mean, Corbin is, at least is pitching often.
Yeah.
Right? He's still
too often,
durable.
I think.
Yes. But yeah, we just had to reflect. I love that that is the last World Series before our whole universe changed. Like, it is so symbolic of so many things.
It's a different era of the world.
Right, exactly.
Yes. That's wild.
And so it just really signifies so much about not just that franchise, but baseball in general.
Does anything change before the team gets sold? There was a theory that was like, oh, they won't trade Soto until there's new ownership. Oh, they won't do this until there's new ownership. Are we going to see, like, how long is this going to take? Is there going to be any forward progress before the learners move on, if they do move on?
There might be, but it's not going to be massive. I think they're going to do more this winter than I thought they were. And Rizzo told, you know, the DC reporters today, like, I have a better idea of what the payroll needs to be. Like, we kind of know what we're working with. Mm-hmm. I think they'll sign a couple, like, well, maybe not a couple at $10 million a pop, but like a, you know, a veteran
the one
starter.
Guy, same
yeah,
kind of
Jordan
thing, right.
Lyles, right? Right?
Yeah. Jose Iglesias.
Yeah, they already signed Candelario. There you go.
But he said today they want a left-handed bat, and you can, you know, Cody Bellinger's there, Joey Gallo's there. Like,
I know Bellinger would.
He might be priced out, but
yeah. That would be a good way to get some people to go to the games.
Some.
This is an interesting conversation because when you said that, it made me think, oh, the NL East is really there for the taking. Like, there's no way they can win the division.
No.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Anytime.
But on the other hand, if you don't make those signings, then you're just full tanking and you're not respecting the fan base and you're admitting defeat, and both options are silly.
Yes. Yeah. It's right? Interesting. I mean, it feels so parallel in some ways to like the Orioles rebuild where, you know, I've asked Michael Elias and he was like, we're not going to go to sign somebody for $5 million and we can have our guy learn here. Right. And they looked like horrible for a couple of years, but now it's like coalescing. And, you know, I think the Nats are being forced to sort of take a similar approach. Like they didn't want Abrams in the big leagues last year.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't want to have to rely on those guys, and Mackenzie Gore and Cade Cavalli have to be really good for them to even be, you know, decent next year.
Yes.
And that's not what you want, but you know, that's the talent's there if they can make it better.
Believe in James Wood. That guy's the truth. Now, look, I know I was tuning in. Oh, what are the Nationals doing this offseason? Okay, let's talk about Aaron Judge, because Aaron Judge will reportedly be arriving here tomorrow in San Diego.
Which is particularly funny because he is currently, as we speak, at what day is it? Monday Night Football in Tampa. He's at the game tonight. He was on the field wearing a Tom Brady jersey.
And that's in Florida.
At
that's
the
not
Bucks
in California.
Raise eyeball emoji.
Raise eyeball
raise.
Emoji.
Raise.
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 Wow.
Raise. Raise.
Raise.
Doing it? Raise Judge? What do we think?
I was just kidding. Mostly.
Okay.
No.
Am I not?
I think Judge would cost more than a new stadium.
Yeah, legit. You could have one of the two. Yeah.
But I like how you're setting this up as if he can't. He'll get here.
Of course he's going to get here, but I just find it funny that everyone's like, Judge will be here tomorrow, and like right now he's about as far away as you can be in America.
100%.
I have a feeling he'll be able to find a chartered flight to San Diego. I don't think that'll be an issue.
Yeah, I don't know if he can afford it. He hasn't gotten paid yet.
That's true.
Chelsea, what do you think it's going to be like to have him in this environment? Like, are we going to... It means he's going to sign
I think so.
Here. It has to, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was my take of like, why... You know, they've obviously done diligence and stuff. Like, what are we doing?
I mean,
if you're here, you're having last-minute meetings.
And so, you know what I really appreciate about this? Because in some ways, Judge has always been like, it's about the team, it's about whatever. But he earned it. He won. He hit a million homers after declining a contract extension. And let's recall 2018, when we thought it was going to be Bryce in Vegas, but he was like off.
Yes.
Right? He was like doing it in these secret meetings away from the hotel. And Judge is like, no, I am the star. I am the story. I am going to be the event, and because why not?
Right.
And I love that. I love that he is giving us that. He doesn't have to do that. No one's totally making him do that. And he's going to do it, and it's going to be some sort of spectacle tomorrow.
Yeah, it means something. It almost makes you think that he knows, you know, because, like, why, I don't know, why put yourself through that if you're not actually kind of wrapping this up? But who knows? I'd be surprised if we see him, though. Like, you think he's going to be out and about?
Well, right. I imagine it'll be one grand entrance.
Yeah.
Is he going to do a formal media scrum? I mean, media is going to literally swarm that he might not have a choice.
Right.
I hope he walks in through the front doors with sunglasses on and just goes, "It's me, motherfucker." And everyone's like, "Whoa, it is you." Potential big winner for this is the Linden, California Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Explain.
The decision, Jordan.
Oh, well, that was very different because LeBron was not doing it even in Cleveland. So, but I see what you're getting at. I see what you're getting at.
I want Aaron Judge seated behind a cardboard table.
Picking
with
a hat.
30 hats.
Yeah.
You don't need the A's hat. 29 hats in front of him. And I want him to just knock hats off the table one by one.
Incredible theater. That is a good transition to my last question for you, Chelsea, about Judge. Because the thing that has been, as much as we've all enjoyed speculating, let's move the Mets aside. Giants, Yankees. I am still waiting for a third team. And I know people want to say Dodgers. But if you could come up with a third team, we just did this exercise a couple nights ago on the pod. Just like, if you could guess a third team to emerge here at the last second.
To go 9-3-25.
And I'm not allowing you to pick the Dodgers. Who are you going with?
Yeah, I would have picked the Dodgers.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're not allowing that.
They got to be desperate. Anyway.
I agree, it's not the most likely third team, but it's just we're so used to hearing that.
Also not at 9-3-25 for them, probably.
Yeah, that's
a great question.
Probably not. Yeah.
Who'd you come up with? It's tough.
Oh, so he said
Chicago, Boston?
I said Cubs. He said Rangers still.
Yeah.
And to me, it's so hilarious. And I know that not everyone's going to play at the top of the market, but at the same time, it's just so goofy. It's like, the guy just hit 62 home runs.
Right. 100%.
Well, you would think there would be a couple more teams that would consider, like, he might be good on our team.
I mean, the Padres.
Padres?
Just because Preller's so...
Right. Preller. Honestly.
I mean, who knows?
That actually is probably a better
answer. My new answer.
Yeah. Okay, good. There you go. I like that.
You heard it here first.
Chelsea, anything you want to plug before you get out of here?
Besides democracy, you know.
No.
Anything on your mind you want to share? I mean, this is an open forum.
No, I was thinking of some Judge puns, like Trey rumors that you could close with here.
Trey rumors.
Like, I'll be the judge of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Boris, it's a shame he doesn't have Trey Turner. I mean, he could have had a field day.
Oh. And Judge.
There won't be a Trey. It'll be a signing.
I was trying to consider, like, some of Boris's less famous clients to see how many puns he really makes. Like, does he do it for all of them? Or, well, like, what if it's like a one-year deal, dude?
You know what he missed out on was Matthew Boyd Wonder. I mean, no one was asking him about Matt Boyd, and he still got him $10 million.
Like, is there going to be a Fetty, an Eric Fetty? You know? There's some names out there, but I don't know if he cares, you know?
Wow, I forgot about Fetty. All right, Chelsea Janes, you can read her wonderful work at the Washington Post, where, again, democracy dies in darkness. That is not a joke.
One of the few people on
the
planet.
No, it doesn't die, because we shed light.
Exactly.
Come on.
Exactly.
If not for the Post, the Washington Nationals would be the death of democracy. Chelsea Janes is one of the few people on this planet who I think might like baseball more than us.
Oh,
and not only that, she is insightful as well. Chelsea, it has been a pleasure. I'm going to get a little sappy for a moment. It was a pleasure to watch you work for October and do your job with a very rare combination of passion, joy, professionalism, and intent. I really mean that.
That's so nice of you to say.
There are very few people.
I'm genuinely surprised to hear that.
Why? There are very few people in this industry who do all of those things at the same time.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
you know what I mean?
You.
You know
what
I'm talking about? And Chelsea does that, and that is, it is.
Well, I wasn't
humbling
there, so
to
I don't, you know.
Jordan can't speak to that.
It seems believable.
Chelsea rocks. All right.
Thank you to Chelsea. Thank you to Chris Tyler for producing. This was a blast. And we'll be back tomorrow with another two episodes of Baseball Barbercast here for the winter meetings.
Maybe one of the managers will talk to us.
Maybe. Maybe Aaron Judge will talk to us. Probably not.
Maybe
Bye.
Chelsea is the new Astros GM.
SiriusXM Podcasts.